Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on a Hill, we are so grateful that you have tuned in with us, and today is a very special day. We want to remind America of its heritage and where we may be headed. And today we have some really wonderful guests. We've got Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute and Luca Bacci of Tea Party Italy with us. But first of all, I'd like to start off by turning this over to Mrs. Barbara Moore, who will get us on the right footing. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. And before we open with prayer, I just wanted to remind our listeners that it was on this day, December 19th, 1777, that the Continental Army set up camp at Valley Forge, just 25 miles from Philadelphia, where the British were captured and occupied. And General Washington had 11,000 soldiers, and 2,500 of them died of cold, hunger, and disease. They died at a rate of 12 per day. And I'd like to, something that people don't always remember is that Washington designed the huts that the soldiers would live in at Valley Forge, but he did not take quarters himself. He remained in a tent as long as they remained in a tent. And there's a good deal of talk about leadership these days. And General Washington was a true and noble leader to sacrifice with his men. And he led by example so many times. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we realize, Lord, that we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. That, Father, when we look into your word and we see, Father, your thoughts and what is important to you, I pray, Father, that we will heed that and apply in our lives and to all of life what is important to you. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity of having another good discussion on the radio show. And we pray, Father, you would be with us and lead us and guide us and help us, Father, to say those things that need to be said, ask the questions that need to be raised, and help us in every way, Father, for we are totally inadequate of ourselves. And we need you, O God, for you are our God, and we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Miss Barbara. Thank you so much. And I'd like to, first of all, for those that have not listened to the show, I'd like to take time to let Luca Bocci tell a little bit about himself and Tea Party Italy. Hi, Luca. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Yes, it's been a momentous occasion, and this time of the year, it's been very important for the Tea Party movement, not only in America, because we're gearing up for the primary, GOP primary, and the presidential elections, but also in other parts of the world. It's been very important because the Tea Party movement, well, you wouldn't know because the media in America and elsewhere are, you know, as usual, they're not telling things how they are, but it's been very important for many countries, Italy as well, because we've been seeing a growing enthusiasm for the movement, and just like, just a small thing, the Facebook group that we have has doubled in size in something like 2 weeks, and we are doubling them again, because right now the momentum is growing. People are realizing that we cannot go on and spend, you know, tax and spend and raise taxes and spend them, because you cannot go out of a crisis by spending more money. You've got to save money, just like in any family. You have to, you know, practice fiscal responsibility and go back to personal responsibility and accept that each one of us is responsible for our own destiny, obviously with the help of our Heavenly Father, which obviously will be there to help us if we confide in Him. And so this is actually very important. The movement has been growing a lot for the past few months, and we've been around for 1.5 years, and right now we have chapters in several regions of Italy. And we don't have good numbers, but it's been growing a lot. So it's several tens of thousands of activists that are working very hard to just roll back the socialist system that has been strangling the country. So that's why I'm happy to be here, because obviously tonight we will be speaking about, you know, public health care and socialized medicine. And this is very important because we are your future, unfortunately, because we've been having a socialized healthcare system for the past 60 years. And so we can tell exactly where the United States is heading if you don't wise up and say, no, thank you. So I'm really happy to be here tonight. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Luca. I'm going to have to, Miss Barbara, I'm going to go ahead and introduce Miss Grace Marie, but after that I'm going to try to get a hold of our friend Dawn Wildman, because she was so excited to be, you know, on with Luca again and Grace Marie. Grace Marie, she has read your book, Why Obamacare is Wrong for America, and she is so excited, and she wanted to be on when you were on. How are you today? Are you doing
wonderful?
Well?
Wonderful. It's a pleasure to be with you, and Merry Christmas and in this blessed season. It's nice to be with you.
Well,
I have to commend Luca. Excuse me.
Go ahead, please.
I have to commend Luca. The brave work that you're doing in bringing forth free market ideas in a country that has gone way too far towards socialism, but has certainly the spirit of liberty. We work closely with Alberto Mingari, who's the director of the Instituto Bruno Leoni in Milan, and is just a wonderful colleague in advocating free market ideas, and we've actually had him speak here at a number of our sessions in Washington, D.C. over the last several years. And certainly, I'm sure you know him, and that you will be allies in arms in putting forth free market ideas with the Instituto Bruno Leoni.
Yeah, we've been working with the Instituto Bruno Leoni for the past year, so they are really good friends of ours.
And
they provide us with the kind of insight, with the kind of, you know, scholarly thought that sometimes is really helpful, because we need to act on both levels. We need to act on popular basis, just like not really dumbing down, but just providing information in a way that is clearly understandable by everyone. But we also have to challenge the socialist groupthink on a scholarly level,
right,
academic level. And this is where things can become complicated. And obviously, having the guys from the Instituto Bruno Leoni and other think tanks providing us with a little bit of guidance, it's been invaluable, really. So we are thankful for their help. it is definitely something we cherish.
And it's that kind of synergistic relationship is important to us here too in the United States. Many of the activist grassroots organizations rely on organizations like the Galen Institute and our allies, the American Enterprise Institute and the Heritage Foundation, for ideas that then they can take to their members and help them understand key policy decisions that are being made that are impacting them and what we all can do to reverse the tide toward liberty and freedom. So I can really congratulate you, Luca.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, Grace Marie, we're so delighted that you're with us, and just like to ask you to share what's on your heart today. What do we need to know? What are some of the things we need to know?
Well, that we should still be all very afraid of Obamacare. That message doesn't seem to change. But we did actually learn just today that the Supreme Court has set the dates at which they're going to be hearing the arguments and the challenges to the president's health law. So March 26th, March 27th, and March 28th will be the dates where they actually hear arguments to the several challenges to this law. So that's going to be major news, and it comes just about 2 years, almost to the day, since the final enactment of this health overhaul law. And that's really, I mean, 2 years is a long time to give the administration for the wheels to be turning to implement this, but it's really a short time in the judicial calendar to actually have a major law like this before the Supreme Court within just 2 years. And I think it shows both how important it is and also the court's understanding that time really matters. They will hear the arguments. They will actually vote shortly after that about, you know, whether or not which justice agrees with which provisions. And then all of the decisions will be written between then and the end of the term. I assume we will hear probably in late June. 29th is the last day they're in session. It likely will be then. The 29th of June will be the date that we will know whether or not the Supreme Court is declaring this law unconstitutional, or whether parts of it are unconstitutional, or whether they uphold it. So I think ultimately we all need to be informed. We need to know what's in this law, how it's affecting us. That's why we wrote our book, Why Obamacare is Wrong for America, explaining the impact of this law on families, young people, senior citizens, educators, doctors and patients, the medical profession itself, and ultimately all of us as taxpayers. The more evidence the more we learn about this law, the more we see not only that it's not achieving the goals that the president set out, but it's actually destructive. I testified before the House Small Business Committee just last week on a particular provision of the law. Remember when the president said you can keep your health insurance no matter what, period, nobody's going to make you have other health insurance? Well, that's not the case. McKinsey and Company has said that as many as 80 million people are going to be forced into other kinds of coverage arrangements, and for many of them, it will be much more expensive coverage than they can afford now. The specific hearing was about how the impact on small businesses, and it's really devastating small businesses, both because early regulations that the administration is putting into place are drying up the sources of insurance. As companies are leaving states one after another because they can't meet these regulatory tests. And it's also denying small businesses more affordable options for coverage. So it's not lowering costs. It's not giving people choices. It's going to cost taxpayers more. We're all going to be forced into government-configured health insurance, which is going to cost all of us. The average policy is likely to cost $20,000 a year for a family when this is fully up and running. And this is not affordable.
Ms. Grace Marie, let me ask you this, because I just saw in the news about Nikki Haley talking about really endorsing Romney, because the way she sees it, his brand or what he's going to do if he becomes president is going to be different. from what he did in his state. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I just finished writing a long article about this and really looking at the things that Romney has said, and he has not reassured voters that what he would plan to do as president wouldn't be a carbon copy of what he did in Massachusetts. And he has not done an even beginning credible job of convincing voters that he is serious about repealing Obamacare and really pulling it out by its roots. The most despised piece of the law is the individual mandate. That's the thing that really takes away our freedom. If the federal government can tell us that we have to purchase a private product with our own personal money that may cost as much as our mortgage or our rent, then what on earth is to stop it from telling us that we have to purchase a General Motors car to help out government motors? Or the next thing will certainly be that we all have to purchase government long-term care insurance. And then they're going to try to tell us that we all need to exercise 30 minutes a day. It is going to take away our freedom. When they control healthcare decisions, they are going to basically control our lives. And people know that. That's why they didn't want this law passed in the first place. That's why they've been fighting it all along. And that's why it's going to be, I believe, a major issue in the polls in 2012. And they need better assurance than they have gotten now, if Romney is the nominee, that he truly, truly is passionately committed to repealing this law and putting in place free market ideas. The voters don't believe that, and that's one of the reasons I believe that he's been stuck at about 25% in the polls.
Yes, indeed. Well Luca, what are your thoughts about, you know, you are a prime example, Italy is, of where we're headed. And maybe I should ask this to Ms. Grace Marie. Ms. Grace Marie, is the message that Luca is saying, do you think that's really resonating now with the American public?
Well, what happens when you get a system like Italy's, where the government really does, you know, pull most of the levers in the healthcare system, is that people don't know anything else. And so when they think that you're going to change that or take it away, then they get really scared. And we see that in this country with Medicare, which is our own government-run healthcare system for seniors. When anybody talks about changing it, it becomes a major political issue. And that's why I think the announcement recently that Congressman Paul Ryan and Oregon Senator Ron Wyden are teaming up on a Medicare reform proposal that really is based upon very good policy that would move us toward a more sustainable Medicare program, keeping it from bankrupting both the program itself as well as taxpayers, and give seniors more choices in a more competitive marketplace. So you actually can see a path to reform, but we first have to make sure we don't go toward the government-dominated healthcare system that Italy has for all of its citizens, and then we can move toward fixing the government-dominated program we have in Medicare by giving people more choices of competing private in plans with the guarantee that they know they're going to get a plan that meets their needs.
Well, Luca, Medicare and jobs, you know, we have heard you speak about jobs and, you know, how can we get jobs when Obama is all the time saying, okay, let's give more money to the government so we can have more jobs and let's keep Obamacare. And I know you've been talking about Luca, but if you don't mind, share with us some more of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, the president is right, is perfectly right. Yeah, Obamacare will create more jobs. Yeah, more government jobs, more union jobs, more regulations and more stuff. So for people that live inside the Beltway, it's going to be massively important. And for special interests in Wall Street or anywhere else, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a big problem for the American people. That's the choice you have to make. You want something that is good for the privileged few, or for we the people. This is the difference, because a government-run system, it's not really what they're aiming for. They're aiming for single-payer. system. And single-payer system is actually what we have in continental Europe since Second World War, actually. So it means that all healthcare industry will be dominated by the government, because the only one that is will be paying would be the government-run national health system, like they have in the UK and so on. This is actually the beginning of the end. It looks like a good idea. So if you just go there and you talk to people and say, yeah, wouldn't it be nice if the government was paying for it? And the instinctive reaction is, yeah, of course, it would be great. But people tend to forget what actually Margaret Thatcher used to say, that there is no such thing as government money. It's always the taxpayers' money. So either the government can get money from your wallet in taxes, or they can have your money but when you buy T-bonds. So that's the only way the government has. But this is not really something that people understand. They always think, yeah, someone else will pay for it. But they don't realize actually one thing, that any government-run system will grow at a rate that is completely unsustainable for the country. We've been seeing that in Europe for the past 50 years. So when you make a government-run system, so a national health service or whatever, the cost is not exactly huge, because they always start small. But this is the problem. When the government runs things, you've seen it in America with Amtrak, with the postal service or whatever, they always tend to grow in size, but they don't provide a better system because they have no incentive for that. The only incentive that they have is adding more jobs that are not related to the service that they're providing. So more regulators, more people that manage policies and stuff. So it will grow exponentially. We've been seeing that, especially in the last few years, because in Italy, we used to have a national health system like in UK. So it was government run but at a national level. Then between 10 and 15 years ago, it was passed to the state level. So right now you have 20 regional health systems. At the beginning it looked like a good idea, because things were not run directly from Rome, but they were run from the capital of the state. Actually, this meant that some regional government or some state government, they spent so much money that they created billions and billions of dollars of debt, and now people do not know how to pay them. And the service changed incredibly. So you have healthcare that in some parts of the country, like Tuscany or Lombardy or so on, it's pretty much at world-class level. And you have healthcare in, say, Sicily or Campania and stuff like that, that is pretty much third world level. So obviously they will talk about equality. They will talk about providing the service to all citizens so that you don't have a healthcare for the rich and the healthcare for the poor. This is complete bollocks. It's not true, because actually right now in Italy, in France, in Germany, in the UK, you want to have a private insurance, because otherwise you will have to wait months to go to a specialist or to have any kind of examination done. So this is actually where you're getting. You'll be spending a huge amount of money to create bureaucracy. That's the only thing that they care about. Because right now, pretty much, Obama gets the money for his campaign from SEIU. They change the name, but it's always the same. So it's government unions that provide him the money. And so, of course, he is actually covering his back. And so he's saying, yeah, of course, we'll make this huge program that will create so many government jobs, and so they will vote for me. And this is actually what the American people should be afraid of, should be really afraid, because it will mean a huge growth in importance for unions. And this is actually what
Luca,
you don't want.
Ms. Grace Murray, we only have you for a few minutes, but we need to have Luca here in the States speaking, don't we?
No, we do. Luca, I want to make sure, maybe we can get your contact information after you're done. My website is Galen, GALEN.org, and we're reachable through there. We need to make sure we continue this conversation, because every single thing you say is absolutely right. And the way this Obamacare law works is that the states are given authority to make decisions, and the federal government pays for it. So Lord only knows what that's going to lead to as far as spending.
We know,
and more, we know where it's going. That's exactly right, to bankrupting the taxpayer.
Yeah,
No question about it. And I'm also reminded of something that you said about the growth of government. That any government that's big enough to give you everything you think you want is big enough to take away everything you have, including your freedom. And that's really the track that I think most Americans are afraid we're on.
And Ms. Grace Marie, just on the practical side, if I may point this out, you know, we all complain about the long wait at a hospital emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us how much better it's going to be afterwards?
It's going to be so much worse. And I think people know that. I mean, in Canada, I was talking with a woman at a party not long ago, and she said, oh, you know, we love our healthcare system in Canada. The government pays for everything. We never have a care in the world. And if we get sick, we go to the United States for care. So that's the two tier system that Luca's talking about, that the people with means are able to buy their way out of the government rationing and waiting lines. In Australia, if you have to have private health insurance. 80% of surgeries in the country are done, people paid with private health insurance. Basically, if you need surgery and you can't afford private insurance, you're out of luck. You're in the government system.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Ms. Grace Marie, we've got all these primaries. Do you think this topic is really being covered enough?
You know, I was distressed that in the most recent debate, there was almost no discussion about health care. And I think, you know, Romney's just being very stubborn. He's just saying, I like what we did in Massachusetts, and we had an individual mandate. It was right for us then. And the voters are just saying, this just doesn't connect with us. We hate the individual mandate. We hate this loss of freedom. And you're telling us that you like what you did in Massachusetts, but you hate Obamacare. It just doesn't compute. So he's got to figure out how he's going to get around that, I think.
Well, do you have a candidate that you like their stand or regarding the health care? Do you have one in particular that you think of may make sense?
Well, unfortunately, the candidates that I really liked, Governor Daniels of Indiana, Governor Christie in New Jersey, and Haley Barbour was terrific. Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, all of them would be fabulous, and they're not running. So we've got to figure out how we're going to hammer whatever candidate succeeds here into shape so that they hear the American people. I think the most important thing is to realize that Congress is going to have to do its job and lead. They're going to have to set the agenda, set the policy, and the president may truly be, in the original constitutional sense, the executor, the person who administers, who puts Congress's policies in place rather than leading the way. So in a sense, if the voters understand that, they'll realize that Congress really should be primary in setting policy, and the administration should execute those policies, not vice versa, as we've really had for the last several decades.
Well, Ms. Grace Marie, we've come to the top of the half of the show, and it's time to let you go. We love having you on. We'll ask you to come on again next month, and hopefully Luca can come on, you know, and really – go to the United States of America and wake up the citizens, because we've been learning from him, Ms. Grace Marie, and our listeners, they're getting, you know, informed and challenged, and they know after hearing Luca, they certainly do not want it.
There is truly a global movement toward consumerism, and the information age is really enabling that. As more and more people get more information, they want to be more in control over decisions involving their own lives. And I'm just thrilled, Luca, to have the chance to talk with you. Thank you, Ms. Barbour. Thank you, Ms. Diana. And I look forward to seeing you, and have a wonderful Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank
you. Well, Ms. Barbour, you know, she is really, well, talking about the foundations a little bit here, Ms. Barbour, and just put it into, you know, that understanding. We've just come so far away from what these three branches are supposed to be doing.
Boy, that's the truth, Diana. That's the truth. You know, I was looking back through why Obamacare is wrong for America, and something I came across, I guess it just hit me like a ton of bricks, but that the enforcement of the mandates will be done by the IRS. the enforcement. Now, if there's one agency besides education, besides environmental protection, I guess I could go on and on, but anyway, the Internal Revenue Service is known for being brutal, really brutal, in collecting taxes. They are known for just cleaning out someone's bank account if they are owed any back taxes and so forth. So, and here a lot of Americans are trying to go with a flat tax or change the taxation system so that the IRS will not be so powerful, among other reasons. But and here in Obamacare, he is giving the IRS tremendously more power than ever before.
And that's why this election is going to be so important. I think whoever heads it is going to change not just our nation, Luca, but really the world. It's going to either make it better or worse. And I know y'all are fighting so hard there in Italy, but you're excited. I'm excited to hear about all this. You know, for every person that wakes up, wow, that means a lot more.
Yeah, most definitely. But I think that this, getting back to Obamacare, the fact that just putting so much power to the IRS, it's working as designed. It's not by accident that they do that, because it's always like that. They have to have someone going there and collecting the taxes. And this is when it gets ugly, because most people, they have a tinted color view of the government, because they only see the food stamps, they only see the handouts, but they never see the brutal side of government, which is something that obviously the founding fathers were actually very aware of, because they've been on the receiving end of a kind of dictatorial government that was the one of the United Kingdom. That's why there was a revolution in the first place. This is what people do not realize. They do not realize that if the individual is in between a government officer and his desired outcome, he will run over you. He will take away everything you have. And they will have absolutely no scruples whatsoever. They will just run over you. You will go under the bus. There is no doubt about that. Because you are just a cog in the machine. You are just an instrument. The means, they only think about becoming more powerful and controlling the lives of the people. This is the only thing that they care about. This Obamacare, if they wanted to name this law in an appropriate way, would have been the biggest bailout for the insurance industry, or for the insurance industries of some friends of mine, obviously. Because this is actually the end result. They were saying, yes, it's going to become more affordable and everybody will be covered. And then, of course, hey, here's this big 1,000-page law. And you start thinking, no, something doesn't add up. Because if you want to extend Medicare coverage, you need one page. You don't need 1,000 pages. So what was exactly inside? Can you remember Representative Pelosi when she said, oh, yeah, you've got to vote it before you know what's inside? You know, it all rang all kinds of alarm bells in my head. And I was thinking, oh, my God, please do something, because they are screwing really bad. Because it's impossible. And then you just look inside of the law, and I didn't have the chance to read every page of the law, because obviously that would require a lot of time and a lot of detailed knowledge of the American system, something that I don't have in all the aspects of government. And I just found so many things that should really, really make ordinary Americans angry. Because if you just read some pages, you just see very clearly what is the end result that they want. They want a single-payer system, and they want all the healthcare industry workers to be unionized. This is actually what they are aiming for. And they want to obviously have more money in their pockets, because if they will have to pay something for that. Right now, I would not be afraid, as Ms. Marie was saying, just like the private healthcare will become very expensive, but that's not their aim. No, they don't want people in the private industry business. They want people to go with the government run scheme. That is their objective. They are making private healthcare so expensive because they want everyone to go to this public market. Because I think that there is not, it's going to be something in between. That you will have markets for each state where you will be able to buy either private or public health insurance. But they want, obviously, to go with the public system because they've seen that. It's a matter of power. In my region, I live in Tuscany, we've been having a left-wing government for the last 60 years. And they say that if you want to control people, you have to control three things. You have to control public schools, you have to control universities, and you have to control hospitals. Every hospital, it's a major point of power for them. So because you have many workers there, they're unionized, they're usually well-paid, and obviously you have chances to just put people that are friends of yours or they're helping you with your campaign and stuff. It's all about that. So think about that. You will be giving them the money to build a permanent majority in every state, because if the healthcare system is run by the government, it will just create a permanent majority for the Democratic Party. Because be very careful what you do that, because that is what they are aiming for. I can tell you that, because leftists, you know, they are the same everywhere around the world. I don't need to know President Obama to know what he's thinking, because he's thinking exactly the same things as communists are thinking over here or in Russia.
That's
or
right.
In China or whatever. They're all the same, unfortunately.
Well, we agree with that, Luca, because we see that too in education, and it's the same plan, you know. We got to pass it, you know, before we find out what's in it. They had to pass
well,
the
Luca,
Common Core Standards.
You mentioned the hospitals, and something else that I don't think Americans understand is that we're going to lose approximately one-third of our hospitals, because one-third of our hospitals in the United States are Catholic. And according to Obamacare, there's not going to be any freedom of conscience regarding not doing abortions there and so forth. This is, I suppose, an unintended consequence, but it is a consequence.
They intended. They intend everything. Because
yeah.
Obamacare wasn't written by by the representatives, people in Congress. It wasn't written by that. It was written by this secretive organization that we don't know much about. And they came with this 1,000-page piece of legislation and say, here it is, approve it. And you think, okay, who are these people? Who is paying for them? And you think, yeah, George Soros and some other guys, they are paying for this. Well, I can't remember exactly the name of the organization who drafted Obamacare, but it was the usual kind of people. Ben Jones used to work for them. And
right. Wasn't it SEIU?
No, it wasn't SEIU.
No.
It's something smaller in New York. I remember Center for American Progress or something like that. I'm not really sure about that. I can't remember exactly.
Glenn Beck talked about it.
Yeah, so that's the point. If they have taken their time, so that actually was a Trojan horse. They say, yeah, go with that. It's going to give you free health care, and you should always beware of leftists when they are coming with things that have the word free in it. Because it means, yes, you will end up paying for it a lot more than you're paying now. So right now, it's actually all consequences are intended. Because they are seeing that if you give freedom of conscience, most physicians are not going to perform abortions. We've been having that in Italy as well. As a Catholic country, you have only pretty much 40% of physicians or doctors in the public health system that will perform abortions. 60%, they will refuse to do it because it's unethical. And so, but if you just put a provision in the law that says, oh, no, you have to have it, it means that you want to kick out all institutions that are related to churches and to people that actually still have a conscience. You want to kick them out of the healthcare system because you want to take their power. It's all about power, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's considered legal and this and that. And we had this past Sunday a sermon from Pastor Kerry Gordon, Miss Barbara, that really is very good in light of what's happening, abiding by man's laws versus God's laws. And as you said, you know, a lot of these Catholic hospitals are going to go out of business. But then there are some other hospitals that's going to stay in business and continue to do and force their doctors to do these horrible things. But Luca, in Italy, you know, here the elderly were one of the first segment of the population that was really rising up and talking against Obamacare. And I guess it's got something to do with, you know, they only receive a certain amount in their checks every month, and their fear is that it's going to dwindle down to nothing. I mean, they can feel every, you know, dollar that's taken off of it because they're on a set income. But over there in Europe, what does the elderly say about the healthcare system there in Europe?
Everything possibly. They are complaints all the time, obviously, because this is the point. People in America, they are actually much more practical than in Europe. In Europe, you tend to have the elderly that are more ideological, and so they always tend to see things in terms of left and right. In America, obviously, pragmatism is a national virtue. So when you say, of course, this is the money that we have, if you're giving more coverage to more people, where do you want to take the money from? You want to take them from Medicare. So obviously, the elderly, not the one in the AARP, because the pretty much Obama votes AARP, because obviously it's sort of a union, and so they kind of like each other. So this is the point, but people that still have their own mind, they're just thinking, okay, if you want to cover more people, you're going to take away my money. So obviously you have a conflict of interest. They are worried that they are not going to receive as much money as they have now. But this is still not similar to what is happening in Europe. In Europe, actually, you have people that are so used to the idea of free healthcare that they will go to the public hospitals and they will just go there and they will moan and bitch and they will yell at people, because sometimes you have to wait 3 months or 6 months for even an MRI. So something that is pretty much important. And so I had a friend of my mother's who was there, and she had been diagnosed with a form of cancer. And so they wanted to have an emergency MRI done immediately because they needed to check the evolution of the tumor. And so she went to book the appointment, and they said, oh, yeah, unfortunately, we don't have any openings now, so you're going to, yeah, your appointment is in 3 months' time. And she said, well, this is an emergency, and I cannot be alive in 3 months, so can't you do anything about it? And she said, well, of course, but this is just 3 months because it's an emergency. Otherwise, it would be next year. And I was just thinking, okay, what happened? It happened that she had to go to a private institution and pay something like $500 for that. This is actually what's happening and what is happening right now. They officially, they're going to say, yeah, we're going to provide health care for everyone. And then you just realize that, no, it's not true. It's not true, because they're going to provide, theoretically, it's for everyone, but if you can wait, and nobody can wait, because when it comes to the health of a loved person, you don't want to wait 3 months, you don't want to wait 3 days, you want to have it done now, because you're worried, and that's what they're counting on. They're counting on you having to pay higher taxes to pay for the government thing, and then, of course, you're not going to go there and have the MRI done in the public hospital, because it's going to take forever. So you're going to go to the private one, which obviously will be authorized by the state, will be will be somebody that is playing along. So I'm not saying that he's going to be a friend of the government, but obviously he's not going to be an enemy of the government. So they will control everything, and they will take away more money from your pocket, not only through taxes, but also from the fact that you will have to go to a private healthcare anyway.
Wow.
This is actually
it sounds like there's already a death panel into law, and it's working automatic, isn't it, Ms. Barbara? Just, you know, the future, you can just count on that. We're like frogs in boiling water, and you know, they're going to tell us the same thing as Lucas said. You know, we're just going to have to accept it, and if we have the money, we'll pay for it. But if we don't have the money, we're gone, out of here.
Well, you know, to repeat what Grace Marie Turner stated, the more we find out about Obamacare, the more alarmed we are. And, you know, it just gets worse and worse. And it's got to be stopped. And we've got to really, really work to get a change in the Senate, to get conservatives in control in the Senate. And, of course, the White House, too, and just dismantle every bit of this, because they're already putting it in place. They're not waiting on the Supreme Court decision, which may come in June. They're already putting it in place, so it's going to have to be dismantled piece by piece, I suppose.
I think you can already see it in the medicine, the price of the medicine that is no longer available. You know, it's too expensive, so we're not even going to put it in the pool of, you know, the medicine that you can choose to use. But, Luke, I'd like to, you know, we just covered the elderly, and I just, you know, the younger people, which you start off with the elderly here at home as one of the first wave to really sound the alarm, but, you know, we do have some younger people now, Ms. Barbara, that's worried about the fact that they're going to have to pay for that health care. But
yeah,
they're over there, Luca. How are they dealing? I know that there's been a lot of problems with the younger generation, but surely there's some that's waking up.
Well, the younger generation are just doing pretty much what me and my brother had to do. They're just leaving the country. They're voting with their feet. They're just leaving. They're just leaving the country because we know that we will have to pay for all of this decaying system. We will have to pay higher taxes and higher taxes again, and we will not get regular paying jobs because we will be out of market, because the cost of healthcare, of benefits, on whatever, is going to become so high that nobody will offer a decent job anyway. So this is an unintended consequence of a socialized and, you know, national government healthcare. It's going to become so expensive for people to employ someone that you will have to leave the country. Lots of people are leaving, lots of people with degrees, with university degrees, with masters, with PhDs, they're just leaving the country. And this is actually what is happening. If you know what's good for you and you know languages and you have a marketable skill, you're just leaving the country. That's what is happening. So if you don't want that to happen in the U.S., I know that you think that it's probably, oh, your listener thinks, yeah, that is Europe. That will never happen. Yeah, think twice. It's not like that. It can happen everywhere, and it will happen everywhere. Because they say, you know, the clinical definition of someone that is insane is when you do the same things 2, 3, 4 times and expect different results. That's why I think that liberals are clinically insane, because they've seen that government-run healthcare is bankrupting the whole of Europe, and they want to do it in America. So either they are, you know, criminals, and they want to do it because they want to take away the money and the freedom of the people, or they are clinically insane. There is no other explanation. So when they say, oh, no, but they mean well. No, they don't mean well, because look at what's happening. Sweden has the most generous system in the world. It was really cradle to grave. You didn't think about anything. The government took care of everything, literally everything, everything. But then in 1992, the country was bankrupt. And they decided, okay, let's go back. No. We take away something like this, and so we reduce the benefits. And slowly, in a very Scandinavian way, you know, they don't want to talk too much about it, but they're doing it. They're going back to free market, piece by piece, bit by bit. Germany did exactly the same thing. In Germany, it used to be government-run, 100%, done everything. The cost became so high, and right now they're going to a mixed system. So you have private and public. But their objective is to go to 100% private healthcare, because they realize that the costs rise exponentially and that the government will be bankrupt. So they're moving away. Italy and France have not been like that because it's been run by ideologues, they have been saying, oh, no, we cannot touch the government-run healthcare because otherwise, you know, it's bad. The unions will kill us. England is doing something similar. They're going to private healthcare, but slowly, because the English people, they are still very attached to their own NHS. If you talk to any Brit, they will tell you that. We love the NHS. Yes, lovely. There is an hospital in London. It's called the Mayfair Hospital. Luckily, it's not in my neighborhood. It's pretty far away. But they call it Maydie, because you go in and you don't know if you come out. And it's obviously a public health hospital. And so that's what you have. A private system will be run by free market rules. Free market rules, it's going to just make, you know, to incentivize hospitals that are run in an efficient way. People will want to go to a certain hospital because they know that the surgeon there is particularly good, or because they have heard that the system, that they have really nice rooms and stuff. So people and consumers, they have a way to choose. But in a government-run system, there is no incentive. So obviously, you will not have the choice. You will, they will say, oh, you go there. And say, I don't want to go there. This hospital is a hellhole. I don't want to. Yeah, you have to. You will not have control even over that. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, look, Ms. Barbara, I just think, you know, there is such a domino effect as what you have really, you know, made me think, Luca. And I'm just thinking, Ms. Barbara, what we saw a little bit of the uprising in Greece, you know, if the United States does not straighten itself up and get wise with the next election, I think it's going to be harder to turn our country than it is really, you know, some of the countries in Europe, because we are such a humongous ecosystem. And I can just imagine that it is going to be almost impossible. Nothing is impossible with God, but it's certainly going to cause, I think, a lot of pain, because we've seen what the Wall Street occupiers, that was just an inkling, you know, I think, of what could happen. And so that's really, I don't even like to think about that, and I really don't even like to say that, but that's how important this next election is, because we have to turn things around. We really don't have a choice.
No, we don't. Not if we're going to survive, because we are at the edge of the cliff. And I truly believe that the 2012 election will determine, you know, whether we're able to recover and restore and renew our country based upon our foundational principles. So these are very, very serious and perilous times, and we've all got to work hard to turn this thing around.
It's going to take a lot of prayer. But I am encouraged, though, with what's going on in Europe. And Luca, what is the latest? I know that y'all had some meetings. Was it November? Do y'all have something else coming up?
Yeah, well, most definitely. We have a lot of things that are being worked upon. And right now, the work is not much on going public, but we're just working on our fundamentals, because we have realized that in order to convince more people, we have to come up with hard facts, and we have to present them in such a way that it becomes self-evident that obviously free market and capitalism are the only way to go. And so right now we have collected most people. You know, we have been sending around messages to all the Tea Partiers that we have around here and say, if you have some economics foundation, if you are very good, if you are a lawyer, if you are a physician or something, come to us, because we are working on some documents that are going to be pretty much important, because we are trying to come up with our solution. Because most people, they have been saying, yes, you are against taxes, you don't want big government, but what is your solution? And sometimes we just go there and say, yes, we need to cut spending. We need to get rid of government-run programs. We need to cancel some layers of government and stuff like that. But they say, yeah, you're not specific enough. You need to come up with actually a solution. And that's what we are trying to do. We have been working with some, you know, scholars and with academic people, and we are trying to come up with some documents that will actually put in terms that are unmistakable just, okay, this is our solution. This is what we want to promote. And then we need to provide, even, you know, we have some people that are in government between our activists. Some of them, they are in town council. Some of them are in provincial councils, in county halls and stuff. So we are just, we have some representatives in the government, local government, obviously. But still, we need to be able to create T40 caucus inside all of these institutions and start to act in a coordinated effort in all the nations. So I know this is not as flamboyant as having, you know, 1 million people in Rome protesting and saying, yes, we want free market. But we've come to realize that probably this is the way to just convince more people that we mean business. We're not just a bunch of kids that do not want to pay taxes. We have solutions. We do believe that our solution is the only one to just solve the problems of our country and also the rest of the world. So we are doing the dirty work. We are getting our hands dirty in working behind the scenes in order to prepare these documents. We hope that, God willing, in a month or two, we will be able to make a website so that every Italian citizen can go there and actually see how much government does it cost you, not your neighbor, not your friend, not your relative, not the rich. No, no, no. How much does it cost you? And how much cheaper and how much money could you get back if free market and personal and fiscal responsible solutions were put into place? So this is going to be a website created only for that. And this is an idea that we got from some friends in Slovakia, of all countries. It's a small country in Eastern Europe. And they come to us and they have created that website and they are helping us. So when I say that the movement is growing all over the world, it is quite true, because we've been meeting a lot of friends from countries that probably we've never heard of, or we just say, oh yeah, it's over there on the map somewhere, I'm not really sure where. And you have free market and capitalist thinking people, they are really active worldwide. And so I think that, you know, 2012 is going to be our year. With the help of the Lord and the help of all the Tea Partiers around the world, we're going to make 2012 the year of freedom. I'm really believing that.
Wow, well, we'll be praying for you. And, you know, we're excited because here in our own state of Alabama, we have one who is not just experienced in the foundation of the law, but he is also experienced in shrinking government, and that is our Judge Roy Moore. That we're so
yes.
thankful to God that he is going to be running. And what an opportunity to put the state back right and maybe even lead the country, Ms. Barbara, because, you know, a man that knows truth and knows the foundation doesn't want to cheat, you know, and really
right.
it's not there to hurt anybody, but it is there
right.
to build up. And sometimes it is very painful. You have to stop and count the cost. And that's what I think Judge Moore is going to be doing, really with honor and integrity. And so we're so excited, Luca. We're going to have somebody at the helm, we pray, in the next election that's going to do that in the guise of Judge Roy Moore. But Ms. Barbara, go ahead.
Well, I love what Luca said about believing that 2012 is going to be the year of freedom. And I pray that that's the case. We know that God is raising up many with the love of the truth and a clarity of thought, and many, like Luca and Judge Moore, with the ability to effectively communicate those truths. And so we know that good things are happening, but you know, we recognize the danger and the darkness of the hour, but we serve the God of all hope, and we're going to hope in Him and trust in Him and work as though it depended on us, and pray as if it all depends upon God.
Yeah, it is.
Amen.
True. In Italy, we have a saying that said that God helps only those who help themselves. And so that's what we're going to do. We're just going to act as if we are responsible for our future and our destiny, but we know deep in our heart that we have a powerful ally somewhere, and high above, he is going to be looking at us. We are going to go his way. We are going to go things the Lord's way, and then I'm sure that the Lord will help us. I'm really believing that, yeah.
Well, amen. I'm looking here at my Bible, and I'm looking at Ecclesiastes, and, you know, the richest king back then and the wisest king back then, you know, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so with that in mind, I'm going to close this in prayer. And Luca, we are always so grateful to have you on because, you know, you really just give us so much clarity, and we're so thankful for those that listen and will share, you know, the simple things that Luca has outlined for us that Obamacare will do and is doing. He wants to help our nation. And, Ms. Barbara, I think he knows our nation better than we do ourselves. I'm just hearing some of the remarks he said, and I was thinking that. I'm thinking, Luca, you know us better than we do. So we're just so glad that you're back there just taking
just
a look.
You're just too kind.
Oh, well, we really hear it. We hear it. We are ashamed that a lot of those things that you're saying is true. Well, all the things that you're saying are true. But anyway, we're going to ask God. He is so good. And if you don't mind, join with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are God. Lord, we are nothing without you. And, Lord, it is incredible to know that you love us so much, that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who was born. And we celebrate his birth, Lord, this time of the year, thanking you, Lord, that he became man. And he lived among us, Lord, and he showed us an example of how to love one another. And to the end, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so, Lord, we pray for those that do not know you. We pray for those in leadership in different parts of our nation's government, Lord, in Europe and really throughout the world that do not know you, Lord, that this will be the time, Lord, when they will realize that they are mortal, that, Lord, there will come a time where they will have to face the end and that they need to be ready. But, Lord, with you comes life abundant. There is nothing like it. Life with you, Lord, is so wonderful. Life without you, I just cannot imagine. So, Lord, we pray for that, for the listeners and those that do not know you, that they'll come and they'll taste your word. It says in your word that it is sweeter than honey. And, Lord, I thank you that I have seen that, Lord. It is sweeter than honey. It is life. It is life everlasting, Lord. So we pray that for those listening. We pray that, Lord, for Luca's family and him. And we pray for you many blessings, Lord, upon them. And, Lord, just give them the encouragement. Lord, let this Christmas time be such an instrument of refreshment, of more boldness, Lord, Heavenly Father, more wisdom, as they see your hand, Lord, in their life, in their family's life, in the many blessings, Lord, of just spending time with their loved ones, Lord. Let it be just so full of joy, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, may their cup overflow. Lord, we thank you. I know my cup overflows, Lord, for these friends. I thank you for them. I thank you for Ms. Barbara. Thank you for Luke and our other guests, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the heart that you've given Luca and David Mazzarelli and the rest of them with Tea Party Italy. Bless each one of them, Lord. Give them your uncommon favor, Lord, with a people, Lord, with their people in Italy and throughout, Lord, that their voices would ring your truth, Lord, for such a time as this, Lord, to help us. Help us, Lord. Bring us back to you, Lord, so that there will be a future, Lord, that is worth living. Lord, we thank you. May your will be done. Forgive us where we fail you, Lord, and help us to keep on. And we ask these things, Lord, in the precious name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Diana. Do you want to announce who's going to be on the show tomorrow and the coming days?
Ms. Barbara, I don't have my calendar in front of me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't remember. But
so just tune in for a surprise.
Oh, yeah. Well, for sure, you know, we have so many programs that's so good they can look at the past. Luca, we've had Dr. Alveda King come and join us, and she's going to be joining us again next month. Oh, yeah, and David Barton was on, too. Was it last week, Miss Barbara?
I believe
and
so,
we're
or
just,
but the week before.
Yeah, our cup is just overflowing, Luca. God has just given us so many wonderful people, including you. So.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's great to be in such an august company, really. My God, that's a really key. Oh, lovely. So let's close and take the time to just wish to all the listeners of City on the Hill the most splendid and wonderful Christmas. May the season bring everything you want and bring freedom to all our countries. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Luca. And please extend that to your friends, David Mazzarelli and the rest of them. Thank you for his postings. I can't read all of them because I don't understand Italy. But
yeah, I know.
I know. But I have posted it to a dear friend, Ben Dupre. And Ben Dupre is with Judge Ron Morris Foundation for Moral Law, and he is posting it. And he has got some Italian friends, so. We're thankful for that.
Nice.
He's from the New York area, so we're hoping some of them's going to, you know, come
on
to your website.
Yeah, lots
of
Italian-Americans there.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. Well, I'm going to let you close, if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, with some parting thoughts.
Okay. Well, we're just grateful. We're just so grateful for this radio show and all of those that are available to all of us at the website, cityonahill.tv. So you can download some recent podcasts. And we thank you for joining us today at City on a Hill Radio Show. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name, thank you. Bye-bye.